This is the Noswer Gamer from YouTube and the Atari 7800 Game by Game podcast, and you are listening to the podcasting pride of the Smoky Mountains, the Two Dudes in a Ness, with your hosts, Dude Michael and Dude Justin.
Justin,
what's up, man?
Not much. I almost feel like I forgot how to do that for a second. It's been so long since
I know.
I was like, dude, am I supposed to say hey, Justin, or hello, Justin, or am I the one who says what's up, man?
It's really complex stuff that we do over here.
That's true. I mean, it takes a lot of talent.
Now, granted, it's only been maybe 3 weeks maybe since we released an episode, but as far as recording an episode, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. You know, this podcast takes a lot of talent, almost as much talent as it takes to post pictures of your feet at the beach. You were talking, sorry.
We were
tangent alert.
Yeah, we were talking about that before we come on the air. Used to 10 years ago, let's say, it was a common theme for people to take pictures of their legs, their feet at the beach or at the pool. They go out, they're having a good time, they're taking a picture, they're trying to convey to the world, I'm relaxing on the beach or beside the pool. This was a predominantly female activity, which was fine. Now I'm starting to notice it's starting to bleed over into the men.
Yeah.
Starting to do it a little more.
And that is a bridge too far for me. Yes.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, it's not something anybody needs to see. No. It is what it is.
I mean, who am I to judge really? But I'm
equal
definitely
opportunity.
Not yeah.
Right.
That's right. Just like this podcast.
That's right. Speaking of equal opportunity, I didn't realize how much more the men's soccer team at the U.S. made than the women's soccer team. And the men's team is no good.
Yeah, I know.
The women's team, like, wins every 4 years.
That's not very equal opportunity, is it? Because the women's team's awesome and the men's team blows.
Right. So... There you go.
There you go. Okay, I'm going to take a time out. All right. I hate to do this so early in the podcast, but apparently there's something, a bird or something flying into the door leading into our house in the back here. And oh. I need to investigate. So I guess we'll just pause here.
Okay. All right.
And we'll be back. And we're back.
All right.
I promise. Get that bird. I promise that was not an excuse to go to a commercial, even though that's probably what we just did.
Or pull a car.
Yeah, and I was not pulling a car. I think I do believe we have bats in the belfry here at my house. yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Where were we? Oh, yeah, we were talking about feet. I'm tired of talking about feet anyway.
Yeah, let's just move on.
So the game tonight on the Two Dudes in S podcast is Sky Shark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any history about the game?
Now it's time for Justin's historical tidbits and trivia. Time to get out your D-pad notepads, because you're about to get schooled by the doctor.
All right, so Sky Shark, which is what it was known as in North America, or Flying Shark in Japan, or as my Japanese colleagues like to say, Hishozami.
Oh, yeah?
Which I'm assuming means Flying Shark. Which was released in 1987, as an arcade with multiple ports. This game may hold the record by not only the number of ports, but the number of different developers, the number of different publishers that this game, for example, the North American version had two different publishers. It was originally released by Romstar and then later released by Firebird, which is a subsidiary basically of Telecomcast. But there were just multiple ports of this game from the Amiga, the Commodore 64, MS-DOS, and the NES. Of course, the NES version is the best version. Not opinion. That is fact. Look it up if you don't.
Right here on Wikipedia.
So the original developer of the game was a company called Toe Plan. I think you would call that Toe Plan, leading him from our foot talk. Let's do that segue.
Nice segue. Toe Plan. Toe Plan.
T-O-A-P-L-A-N, which is a Japanese video game developer, which was known for their famous scrolling shooters and their arcade games, which is now defunct. I'm looking at their list of games. None of these sound familiar. I don't know if we're going to come across this company again, because I don't see any games that really pop out at me as NES titles. I am interested in the game called Slap Fight.
Hey, that makes me think of, what was it? You and
Tangent
I.
Tangent alert.
Back in the day.
Oh yeah, Slap Fight.
We used to have Slap Fight all the time.
Slap boxing. Anyway.
I don't know. That was really funny though. I mean.
The slap boxing?
Yeah, because we would just do it. We just randomly would get up in the middle of the room and do it, and everybody would. Well, okay, I guess it was funny for us, but everybody else probably thought we were just really
weird.
It was
hilarious for us, but nobody else has a good sense of humor, so.
Yeah.
It's not us, it's them. Right,
exactly. And everybody listening right now is probably thinking, move on. That's not, I don't want to hear it.
But this game had two different composers, one composer for pretty much every version of the game, and then a different composer for the NES version, which was Tim Fallon.
Famous.
The famous Tim Fallon. You may recognize that name for the game we've already talked about that he did called. It was a famous music video game, Silver Surfer. Or did we do Silver Surfer?
We did not. But,
right.
But we it's the lost episode.
It's the lost episode, Silver Surfer, that we were supposed to record like 5 years ago, and then we didn't.
You may also remember Tim from the epic NES game, Pictionary.
So, yes, that is epic for sure. So Tim Fallon has kind of an interesting backstory as a video game composer. He actually got into it because his brother, Mike, was a video game producer and developer. When he was young, he just kind of showed Tim some, you know, tips and tricks, and basically Tim just took off with it and became one of the more famous composers for video games that we know. His first foray into the NES, of course, was this game, which we'll talk about whether we like the music or not. He went on to do several different things. He developed new phasing sounds and two and three channel music drivers, which if you're curious what that is, I suggest you put in for an Ask Aaron. He'll explain it to you at some point.
only put in for that if you've got about 45 minutes.
One of the funny things is that I was reading about him is on level one for a game that we won't talk about because it's an Amiga game. The Ghouls and Ghosts is basically a track that is somebody saying Secret Authority backwards.
Oh.
And he did it as a joke.
That's
so, yeah. So, He actually, in some games even, I thought this was pretty interesting, he actually admitted that he would actually just write music, he would just write video game music and put it on games. And whether it kind of matched with the level or not. Now, I don't think that's what he did here for this game. I don't know. But that was pretty interesting.
You know, he was... what I find pretty interesting about him is that when he was doing these NES games, these soundtracks, he would have been, what, like 20 years old or something?
He was
young.
He's only 48 now. So, I mean, you know, we're talking 1987 is when this game came out. So you're talking, you know, 32 years ago. He's 16 years old.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Is that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah, but the NES port probably came out a few years later, right?
Yeah, that's true. But he probably was still, you know, 20.
Yeah, if that. It came out in 89, so he would have been like 19 maybe. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you were doing at 19?
Slap fighting you in college. Pretty much what I was doing.
Flunking calculus and slap fighting.
That's exactly what 19-year-old us were doing. His brother also is a video game composer. And he actually left video game composing in 2005. And an announcement on his website that said, with much delight, he had chosen to stop composing music for games because it was no longer providing a substantial income. But he later actually did come back and worked a little bit on a video game called Contradiction in 2012. But otherwise, has stayed pretty quiet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean... And you look at his, you know, games that he's wrote for, you're going to see a lot of games that are famous. You know what? He never wrote music for. Oh, no. Never mind. He wrote one Genesis game music.
That's all it took before he'd had enough.
Yeah. So... most of his work is on the Commodore 64 or like in the NES and the SNES.
I'm surprised he didn't do more Sega games actually, because isn't he European or any British or something?
He's English, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you have to look at under Mega Drive instead of.
Well,
Genesis.
He did do it, but even Mega Drive, he only did like two or three games. He did quite a few. Dreamcast games now. That was so.
Okay. All right.
Which I would admit is the superior Sega system. If you're going to go Sega, you might as well go Dreamcast, right?
You might as well, yeah.
So. Anyway, that's enough for history on this game. Did you go on a quest to find this card?
Now it's time for the thrill of 8-bit discovery with Michael's quest to find the cart.
I did, in fact, go on an epic quest to find this cart. The year is 1989. And the Russians have broken out all their old biplanes and decided to attack Loudoun County. So I, as a 4-year-old boy...
Right to the hub.
Yeah, right to the hub of America, Loudoun County, Tennessee. So I, as a young 4-year-old boy, impressionable, yet, stalwart in my ways... decided to hop in my own plane and take the fight back to the Russians. Upon doing so, I discovered that one of those planes was holding a copy of Sky Shark for the NES.
Well, there you go. There's your prize.
Yeah. Yep. So, there's my story. And I'm sticking to it.
I would.
So, this is a little bit of a tangent.
Tangent alert.
But I realized as I was telling that story that I think I've been watching too much Cheaters.
Oh, yeah?
On VH1. VH1 shows Cheaters now. And I was using these.
Joey Greco.
Yeah, the cadence and the words that I was using during that story, I realized I've been watching too much Cheaters.
Joey's cadence is something.
Yeah, he's been rubbing off on me just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyways, no, actually, the quest for this card, I did not know this card. I did not know this game existed, to be honest, until we went to cover for the show. So I did not get the game. I just demo moded this one.
Mm-hmm.
That's my bit.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't actually know about this game either. I don't know if it's a relatively obscure. We'll talk about it when we get to the cost of the game. But I never came across this game. It's got an interesting box art too.
Yeah, it does. And the arcade cabinet, I was looking it up to see if maybe I had seen it out and about somewhere. But I don't even remember seeing the arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
An interesting look about it too.
I wonder if the arcade was really even that popular around the United States.
I don't know.
But maybe just ported for the NES and that was about it.
Yeah. But you mentioned the box art. What did you think was so unique about the box art?
Well, it's got a real guy on it. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I don't know. I just, that struck me. It actually looks like an old 50s war movie feel.
It does. I actually really like the box art myself.
Mm-hmm.
The guy on the cover is making the same face as the airplane.
So he is.
he's got that going for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of gives you the story on the box art, which is interesting.
Now, after listening to Aaron's story about the historical games you could play, I'd be a little leery of playing this game, to be honest, because it looks like it'd be a historical game.
That's true. Okay, hold on just a second. I think we've started talking about games, so I got to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Time to dig in to some good old-fashioned game discussion.
Yes, I agree. This looks a little bit like a historical game, but this is like World War II, that kind of history. And that's cool. It's not like feudal Japan or something weird like that.
So here, let me just tell you this to wrap up about the box art. Right under Tato, it says, nobody ever said it would be easy. And boy, were they right.
I was about to say, no other box art has ever been so right.
Perfect slogan for this game.
I'll just read it. So the box art has, it's pretty epic box art. I suggest everybody go look it up. It would make me want to play this game for sure. Other than the fact that it says, Tato, nobody ever said it would be easy. Deep in enemy territory, you've got to fly your P-40 on a dangerous top-secret mission. The skies are thick with a deadly rain of armor-piercing fire. They choose you for one reason. You're the best there is. You know the score, so aim right and fly tight. The skies are anything but friendly tonight. I love that. I think it's so good.
That is awesome. Mine, I've not read it that closely, and mine right now is so blurred, I can't really read it. But yeah, that's awesome. That's an awesome slogan.
I mean, that would make me want to play the game, for sure.
Right. You know, Hank, I'm just the best there is. It's plain and simple. Can you name that movie?
No.
Talladega Nights.
Okay, yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen that. Yeah. I've actually seen Days of Thunder since I've seen Talladega Nights.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I listened to Days of Thunder today.
Yep, I'm like 25 minutes into it.
All right, so let's go with the manual here. The manual is equally awesome. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it has a comic book.
It up now. Oh gosh, I'm excited.
That's right. There is a comic strip in this manual. I think my manual's a little bit too blurry to read it, but I want to try.
Yeah.
There's no better way to tell the story than with the comic strip.
That's true.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's blurry, but I'll do my best. The battles of World War II were nonstop marathons of attrition on the sea and the skies. No squadron has more kills than yours, and no one in your squadron is better than you. That's why they call you the Sky Shark. And then there's a picture of you and your plane flying, and I guess you had just shot a boat, and the people in the boat are screaming because they're drowning. they're drowning. And what do you say? You say, Woody, can you read? Rats, my last man. I've got to get through to enemy headquarters alone. It's the only chance to save my men. He just said...
Wait, are you Woody in the game, or are you yelling at Woody?
You're yelling at Woody.
Okay.
So you're trying to get a hold of Woody, but then he's not there. So you say, well, rats, that was my last man. So your last man went down. You got to go alone.
It's go time.
The only problem with that statement is he says, my last man. And then he says, I got to get through enemy headquarters alone. It's the only chance to save my men. So was that your last man, or?
What men are we talking about?
Just as the battle seems lost, US POWs are marched further into enemy territory and an uncertain rate. I think that's what it says.
Yeah. Uncertain fate.
Uncertain fate. There we go. That makes more sense. Man, they'll never find their men now, even if they do penetrate our superior defenses. That's what the Germans are saying.
Yeah. These are the men that you gotta say.
Yeah, these men here. Through sheer cunning and determination, the Sky Shark has to penetrate the enemy's first line of defenses, but he has yet to locate their command post in the American POWs.
Now this guy, clearly by this next statement he's about to make, he's a Southerner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is you in the game.
Yep.
Flying the Sky Shark. I love the plane design too. I didn't realize the Sky Shark was the name of the plane or something. Or the name of your character, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyways, the Sky Shark says, I'll give those stinking dogs some good old American cooking.
Which, I love it.
Which I can only assume that means machine gun fire.
Right. I love it. It's like John Wayne.
Yep. The artillery fire flies from all directions, pummeling the Sky Shark, but he fights on. If I can only get through this squadron of enemy fighters, I might have a chance to save them. Bingo. That's got to be their command post. Now, if I could only locate. There they are. Our boys. Sky Shark, risking it all, flies into the swarm of oncoming enemy attackers. It's his last chance to save the day.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Go down.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I'm feeling motivated to go back and try to play this game again.
Yeah, I want to play it right now.
Well, let's finish the podcast first.
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, so this game is your typical scrolling airplane shooter. So it's a vertical scrolling shooter. So it's bottom to top. So you're on the bottom going up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty typical of that genre.
Yeah, maybe a little better graphics than the typical one. I thought the graphics were pretty good. But yeah, and just like it plays so much like an arcade game because it's so it gives you a little bit of a warm-up time in like the first half of that first level, and then it just hits the fan and it's on, and you are, it's just like enemies are coming from everywhere.
Yeah, this game is, for lack of a better term, relentless. It is a it is a difficult game. This is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, and just like, you know, being an arcade game, it's only got five levels, and so the tempo of the difficulty picks up pretty quick.
Yep. You start off with four airplanes. It's two player. It's two player, by the way. I did not realize that. I did not realize it was two player the first time I played it. But yeah, and so like when I started the game, I accidentally started it on two player mode, and so I was playing and I died, and then it switched over to the second player, and I was like, "Well, what's going on? This game's messed up. I can't control my plane." That was because I had accidentally selected two player.
Oh, so it's like turns, because I didn't play it. Turns. Obviously, I didn't play a two player, but it's like, okay.
Yeah, all so right. You take turns, two players. If it's kind of like Paperboy style, you know, you take turns. Mm-hmm. But so the game has, you get four planes per go, and then you have continues. But I really struggled to be very good at this game.
Oh yeah, I mean, I didn't get very far at this game at all. I didn't even get past the second level. So pretty much where it would get me is in the second level, when you get past the part where the ships are unloading the tanks onto the shore, uh-huh. and then you fly over them, and then you're over the water. What happens is, it's like these little smaller planes come in from the top in an X pattern, and then they start coming from the bottom too in this X pattern, and you're like, and then you've got so many enemies on the screen there at once, and I just couldn't get past that part where you're flying over the water.
Yeah, I'm with you. I couldn't make it past the second level either. I had trouble with the first level even. In the green water, which it took me forever to figure out that was water.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even the first level, I mean, it cranks it up pretty quick. And, you know, I know we usually say this for later, but the music really kind of gets your blood pumping too. Like, especially the first couple of levels, they really... add to the intensity of the game, I think.
Yeah, we can go ahead and talk about it now. I thought the music in this game was awesome.
Oh, it's the best part of the game.
It's definitely the best part of the game. It gets your blood pumping. It really kind of motivates you to play.
Yeah.
At least it did me. Did you... Okay, answer me this. Did you play with a turbo button?
I did not.
Oh my goodness! I feel so sorry for your thumbs then, because at first I tried playing this game just with a regular controller.
Yeah,
and I just, oh my goodness, you just have to keep. There is no like auto fire. Or at least I didn't have it. Maybe it's an upgrade. I think actually, I don't remember.
But so
if without there being an upgrade, you have to hit the B button over and over and over again.
And bringing that up, the upgrade, from what I understand, now I hardly ever got the upgrades because, you know, so the upgrades are like you get this S signal, this or symbol that kind of pops up after you kill some enemies, and you're supposed to get that S signal, and basically it just changes the firepower of your plan. Like you'll shoot more bullets than in one shot, right?
Yeah, so
I never even got an upgrade.
Yeah. Okay. So so you have a regular, like mini games in this style. You have a machine gun and you have bombs. And the bombs you shoot down at the ground, and the machine gun you shoot in the air, right? And I think you start off with three bombs, and then you can collect bees throughout the game and get more. The more bees you have, the more bombs you have. Total of like eight. You can hold like eight bombs, I think, at a time. I'm always the type to just hold on to my bombs. I'd never use them, which was probably why I didn't do very good in this game.
And I would.
But the S symbol is when you have to shoot down an entire formation of the red aircraft that come in, right? That's mm-hmm. how you get the S symbols. I don't know if you figured that out.
I didn't figure that out, but yeah.
Yeah, so when the red aircraft come in, they always come in like a formation and do some kind of pattern. If you mm-hmm. defeat all of the red aircraft in that case, then when you do that, you'll get an S symbol.
So my problem was, and I eventually just stopped going for the upgrades because the upgrade, it almost always seems to kind of pop up towards the top of the screen. And so you would have to like try to fly up and aim it right to get it. And every time I'd get hit by something. So it's like if I focused on the upgrade, then I'd lose track of the enemies and I'd get hit and die. So I just had to stop.
Yeah.
Trying for the upgrades.
I understand. That happened to me several times too.
Yeah.
And so you can get up to 6 of those S upgrades. I think the most I ever got was 2.
Mm-hmm.
But at 1 you get like a 4 shot and then it spreads wide, and then you get 5 shots and 6 shots, and then eventually you can get up to like 7 shots spread wide, which I'm sure was great if I could have ever got that. But can you imagine getting 6 of those?
Code to get that.
Yeah, I know, right? Can you imagine having to get 6 of those S's?
Oh, I can't imagine it actually.
and when you die, you lose it. You lose the S. So, yeah. I think the most I ever got was 2, and I did not have it for very long.
Right.
But yeah, so the S upgrade thing, it's pretty common for a shooter like this, but still, the difficulty level of this game made it so that it was hard to get those S's. And those red aircraft fly in at weird patterns and weird angles and things. So I had a lot of trouble getting that. And I think Justin has muted or dropped off. So I'll just keep talking.
Sorry, I didn't realize I did that. I do realize I did that, but I didn't realize I didn't re-release it. Then anyway, go
That's
ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to try to fill space, so
yeah,
come on back in.
So it's just this is a game that I think in order to get good at this game and even think about beating it, it's going to take a lot of practice, a lot of time.
Yeah, you're going to have to memorize a lot of movements.
Yeah. And I don't even see how you do that. I mean, to me, it's just like looking at it, it's just like, I don't see how you memorize it, but I'm sure somebody has.
Yeah, it is not easy to memorize, I'll tell you that, because the way the blue aircrafts come into the way they fly in just seems so random.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's not the case, but it just seems that way, you know?
Right.
But I do recommend, though, if you do decide to give it another shot, definitely go in with a turbo button because it makes it a lot easier. At least a lot easier on your thumb.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that. But, I mean, I'll definitely... Well, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So did you see the rest of the game? Like, did you watch any, like, YouTube videos or playthroughs of it?
Yeah, I watched a playthrough of it. It's a pretty short game if you know what you're doing. It's like 15 minutes long.
yeah, you can just blow through it pretty quick. Which those like NES long play videos, they're just insulting. They're insulting because it's like this game that you just struggled with for hours. This guy just beat it in 15 minutes, and he didn't even look like he broke a sweat.
I know, it almost looks like, you know how games play themselves at the beginning sometimes?
Yeah,
If you don't press start soon enough, it just shows somebody playing the game. That's what it looks like. But he plays the whole game.
Well, what I was going to bring up about watching the rest of the game is the music. So The intro music when you start the game is the same music on level 2. And then there's level 1, which is really good. I think level 3 is a dud. That one just stuck out as something that just didn't fit. And then 4 may be my favorite.
Okay. I think I may agree with you, actually. I do agree that 3 did seem kind of like a dud.
Mm-hmm. It's probably between level 4 and level 2, the intro music that is my favorite. Metal-esque.
Yeah, I like the intro music a lot myself.
Yeah.
You know something else I like about this game quite a bit? It has nothing to do with the music or anything. It's totally going off the topic you're taking us down. But I love how the game is like seamless. Like when you finish a level, you land your plane.
Just keep going.
And then you just take right back off and you're like on the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So it really does seem like you're just, it really does seem like you're just traveling, I guess, into Germany. And like you start off, on land and then on sea a little bit. And then there's like rivers and stuff. And then eventually you're in a train yard. It just, the way it seems to flow, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Excuse me, flow?
Yeah.
I watched Dumb and Dumber the other day. I mean, to me, it's still as funny as it was in like 94 or whenever it came out.
I can't argue with that.
But, I just thought of a way to rate this game.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. Bring it up later.
So let's talk about the graphics a little bit. What did you think about the graphics?
I think for this style of game, they were really good. So I think, they're somewhat limited by the style of game. Top-down shooters are pretty straightforward, not a whole lot of things you can do with it. But I think if you compare this to like 1942, it's like it's leaps and bounds better, in my opinion. And I think that for a top-down shooter, the different colors, the different sprites that they had for the enemy planes and tanks and things was bar none really good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought they reused a lot of stuff, though. That kind of bothered me. Like the levels, even though, you progress to like a, a train yard type of area, then you kind of go right back into the water. And
yeah,
I like the water and I like the ships. And I thought that was really cool. And I think the graphics there are pretty good. I think they just used it too much. You only put out 5 levels. I would like to think all those levels are different, but they're really not. There's like 3 different levels and then 2 that are kind of the same as the first 2.
And even to think about it, like I think like the turrets on the ship and the turrets that were on what I'm assuming is maybe submarines are the same too. They're not really different.
So, yeah, they reused a lot of assets. Yeah. And your plane kind of looks like the enemy planes too. Like some of the blue enemy planes.
Maybe you're just rogue.
Could be. But I would have liked to have seen a little more variety. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And I also would have liked to have seen some, just in gameplay wise, not necessarily graphics, but I would like to have seen some boss battles kind of. I think that would have been cool.
It would have been fun. Like a big, big aircraft carrier, although you're really kind of fighting some aircraft carriers.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of fight bosses-ish a little bit. I mean, there's the big green tank at the end of level 1, and there's some bigger enemies, and of course you're fighting against big boats and stuff, but that's just, I feel like there was a little bit of a missed opportunity. The game seems a little anticlimactic to me. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like you get to the end of the level and then you just kind of park your plane and then take off again.
Mm-hmm.
There's no boss at the end of the game either, from what I can tell. You just kind of beat it.
Just kind of get to the end.
I mean, there's a really big plane near the end and I guess that's the boss, but then there are other planes after it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I guess there are bosses, but they just didn't really feel like boss battles to me.
Yeah.
I think I'm just being a little bit nitpicky. Oh, by the way, being nitpicky, I guess that means Brian Keating's going to be mad at us. This is a pick. This is Brian Keating's Patreon pick.
We're mentioning that just, 45 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, like, I meant to mention that a lot sooner. Sorry, Brian. But thank you for the Patreon pick.
Equally both of our fault, but yeah.
That's okay. Well, I'm sure he quit listening a long time ago.
Well, they're butchering this game I picked.
Yeah. I can't listen to this anymore. They've ruined it.
He turned it off right when we both said we didn't get past level two. Like, God.
It's like these guys.
Amateur hour over here.
Yeah. These guys are the worst. I'm going to go listen to Genesis Gems now. At least over there, I know I'll get to listen to Aaron talk for 2 hours.
I've still got 3 hours left to ask Aaron.
I would think that in the grand scheme of things, to give Aaron credit, of all the Bit Brothers, he may be the best one at video games, potentially.
Oh.
It's got to be him or Nick, right?
I would say so.
It's got to be one of the two.
I would say so.
It's probably Aaron.
Knowledgeable too. I would say Aaron.
Yeah.
I mean.
But he's also got the biggest mouth. So. Yeah. we give and we take.
To go with the name of his other former podcast, the Retro Obscura. He's got some obscure ones up his sleeve.
He does. Some feudal Japanese. I don't know why this became a Make Fun of Aaron episode.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm sorry, Aaron. We really do like you. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't even.
All right. Let's kind of start wrapping this up. Let's move on to what do we do on this show? I think I'm done talking about the game. I didn't make it far enough to talk too much more about it. Of course, there's really not a ton to talk about this game.
That's what I was going to say. Like, I didn't make it very far either, but I don't really see that the game changes much. No. It gets just more difficult,
Yeah, it just gets more difficult, which seems like an impossibility based on playtime that I had with it.
So we've already talked about the music. What else we talk about? Graphics and sound.
High score challenge, which we didn't. I forgot to post a high score challenge, but did you happen to think about what your high score was?
I never even remember to do that, and which is horrible.
Mine was somewhere in the 40,000 range, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure somebody could beat mine easily.
I'm 40,000 is pretty low. I think they always give you a default score to beat, which is really easy to beat. I think the default score was like 20,000. So 40,000 is not that much higher than the default.
Right. Oh boy. All right.
We can let's go ahead and move on to retrofitted trophies.
Wait, no, we gotta do is it worth it?
Oh yeah. We do need to do is it worth it. So
all right.
Talk to me.
So is it worth? Let's see. So you can get this game for about $10 on eBay. Which is interesting because I told you I was going to allude to this later in the history section where I was talking about was this game maybe just there wasn't a lot of copies, but $10, that's pretty cheap for a retro game. So I think there seems to be a lot of copies out there. I don't know.
I'm looking on pricecharting.com. It's even cheaper than that.
Oh, well, there you go.
Pricecharting.com's got it loose price of $4.44.
Yeah, I mean, there were some that were that cheap, but there were some that were more, so I was just kind of hitting the average, but yeah.
But there's some on here that sold, there's some that sold for as low as a dollar.
There you
on eBay.
Oh boy.
There's a few so eBay
there's
sales.
Zero, either there's a ton of copies or there's just zero desire for this game.
Probably both. So regardless of that, I personally, I think it's worth it. Totally worth it. For that price. I would
definitely say it's worth it. $10. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
I mean, it's difficult, but it's not difficult because it's frustrating or something. It's difficult just because I'm terrible at these games.
Yeah.
But it's fun. I mean,
I'm not saying yeah for you. Me too. Yeah.
But it is a lot of fun. I think it's a lot of fun. I mean, I got nothing.
It's definitely one of those, we talk about this from time to time, that it's an instant gameplay that you don't have to spend a lot of time, that you just got a minute and you want to just, you know, play something action-packed. This is certainly a good choice.
Yeah. Also, just so you know, a brand new one, sealed. Brand new copy, sealed, sold for like $35. So... If you want a sealed copy of this game, it's very reasonable.
Brian, you better have a sealed copy of this game.
Yeah, for the prices that these go for, Brian, I expect a sealed copy to be on your desk at home.
Yep. All right.
Okay, now can I move us on? I didn't mean to move us on so early. I just really wanted to hit this button here.
You know what this game needs? Some retrofitted trophies.
Okay. Now, the big question is, did the listeners submit any?
I don't see...
They did, by the way. The question was a rhetorical question.
Right. They did. All right, you ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
Want to do ours first?
Let's just mix them all up.
All right. We'll go with Crystal Carolog first one. It says Baby Shark. Play as player two with a friend and sing Baby Shark until player one either dies or snaps and beats you senseless.
I don't know what this Baby Shark is, but...
Buddy...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's sweeping the nation.
That's what I understand.
Christopher Kellogg also comes in with Sharknado 2, the second one. Play the game while your friends destroy your house. Interesting.
Probably because they also tried to play this game and got so super frustrated.
Right. All right. How about you got one to mix in here?
Yeah, I got one called the Mako Shark. Did you get the Mako Shark? You have to fly through the entire level without defeating any enemies.
Oh, it's going to be impossible.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I never tried it. But if you want this trophy, you're going to have to try it.
All right. My first one is Snoopy, World War II Flying Ace. Because you know Snoopy was the World War II Flying Ace.
That's right.
And that is beat the game or get through all five levels.
Okay.
Cool. Chris Murray says Sky Shark. Drop witty yet sassy remarks on each enemy as they're destroyed. Ooh.
That's my kind of
trigger. Giving some sass? Yeah. Josh Diekman says, Shark Bite, get killed by the very first enemy in the game. That's an easy trigger.
Got that one? Yeah, I was about to say, I got that one.
Yeah?
Yeah. All right, I got another one. Whale Shark. And you gotta put emphasis on that H there. Whale Shark. To get Whale Shark, you gotta defeat the giant plane at the end of the game. That's kind of a boss, but not really. The one I was talking about earlier. Because whale sharks are big. It's a big plane.
Yeah, I like it. Love it. My next one is we don't need no stinking upgrades, and that is beat the entire game without getting a single upgrade.
That's a good one.
All right. Next up on the dudes or the D-padders is Peter Martins. Never played this one, but always saw it at the store. Thought it always had a great cover art. Looks like the game 1943. Now, he's either saying that it's a sequel to 1942, or he's saying this is the sequel to 1942.
Yeah, well, there's also there is a sequel to 1942 called 1943, right? At least I think there
is. Maybe. Probably. All right. Next up, we've got Landshark, or I'm sorry, Mike Hall, who said Landshark. Annihilate all ground forces over a land section.
I like that one. That's good.
Do you have any more?
I've got one more.
All right, let's
see. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Jaws would be impressed. And to get the Jaws would be impressed trophy, you have to beat this game without dying.
Nice. I like it. And last but not least, Tyler Jones says, Pigeon, drop all sorts of crap on 3 battleships.
That's a good one. That's pretty good. You got any more or are we done?
I'm done.
Sweet. Okay, well then, how would you like to rate this game?
Well, you know, I was thinking earlier... Oh.
Do you have a shark over there in your house?
Yeah. That would be what that is. That's for the 2-star.
Okay. Anyways, should I play the rating button? Or?
Yeah, go ahead.
No game is worthy until the dudes have spoken. It's time for the game rating.
All right. Now, I was thinking earlier about World War II movie, but I think that's a little too on the nose now that I think about it.
Okay. That was your big revelation earlier in the podcast?
Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, it kind of is. I was expecting something awesome.
All right. What about Animal that a plane is named after?
Oh, that's really going to be really hard for me.
Oh, you got the hornet.
Okay.
The raptor. The warthog. The tiger shark.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's not so hard anymore.
I'll go first.
Okay, go first.
Yeah. I'll go with the warthog because it's got the basically like the Gatling guns on it that are just rapid fire, just pouring down some lead on some enemies. And that's what this game is. It's just rapid fire, just pouring it on you.
Okay, well, you took mine, so that's okay.
Oh, I didn't take it.
Well, I guess I'll go with Hornet because... Trying to face off against a hornet is a very frustrating ordeal. They like to sting you,
and bite,
and there's a ton of them usually in one spot, which is kind of how I felt trying to play this game.
And a hornet can sting you more than once.
Yeah, I hate that about hornets and wasps.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
I really don't understand why can they do that? It just doesn't seem fair. You got the poor little honeybee stings you one time and dies, and then you got these wasps that are just a nuisance.
That's all they are. Nuisance. Yeah, they're like the mosquito. Mosquito
exactly. Mosquitoes and wasps, waste of space, both of them.
You know the mosquito is the deadliest animal in the world.
Did not know that.
It really is because of all the disease they transmit, you know, in like third world countries.
Yeah. I have no use for that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. We got to get them out of here.
But are we allowed to? Why can't we just eradicate them, make them extinct?
I don't know. I don't know if that's just something we can't do or if it's something that we feel is unethical to do. But I don't know that there's anything that the ecosystem will miss by eradicating the mosquito.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I know bats like to eat them, but they can eat other bugs.
Oh, yeah. Bats, there's plenty of choices.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, sorry for that tangent. I just thinking about it. Every week I walk around my house and I knock down and or spray probably 4 wasp nests.
Yeah.
And they just keep coming back. And it's so frustrating.
And they're little jerks too. It's like, you know, they'll build a nest right under a table or something, you know, and you'll hit the table or something and here they come flying out. Ugh.
Yeah, and they don't always sting you. I feel like the most time they just want to scare you. Like, oh, I'm going to sting you. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I am.
I don't even understand. You know, the hornet's nest or the honeybee's nest, like, it's somewhere they can live. I don't even understand a wasp nest.
Yeah, they just hang out on the outside.
Right? Yeah, it's weird. Like, there's nothing, you can't go into it. What are we doing here?
I guess they plant eggs in there, maybe?
They're the riffraff of bees.
Darn tootin'. They are.
They are
the botanists of the bee world.
The botanists of the bee world. That's no doubt.
That's exactly what they are.
Yeah.
We need to make a shirt that's just a picture of a wasp on it. It says botanists of the bee world. Yeah. I'd buy that shirt.
I would too.
Okay. All right. We got feedback.
All right. It's time for D-Patter feedback, because when you're a D-Patter, you're a D-Patter for life.
All right. So on the Bit Brothers retro gaming community, and just as to serve as a reminder for everybody that everything's consolidated now, I'm sure everybody's pretty well figured it out now. But if you're a new listener and you want to put feedback to the games, you can always do that on the Bit Brothers retro gaming community page.
And to get there, you go to facebook.com/groups/bitbrothers.
There you go.
Yep.
Daniel Walker says, decent 1942 clone. The cover looks like both the pilot and his plane have constipation. Yeah. I can see that. Jay Jorgensen says, I think I played this once as a rental. The cover was just too awesome to pass up at the store. It probably disappointed 7-year-old Jay. Timmy Mack says, I remember renting it as a kid and it being very difficult. Looking forward to see what you guys think. I think we had similar opinions. Timmy Mack.
Yep.
Mike Hall says, I had the arcade machine of this game for a time. It was a lot of fun. I now just have the NAS card. So Mike Hall has the cabinet.
That's really cool. Hey, Mike Hall's the one that's, he's the historian. He must be, I bet he got it because he's into the World War II stuff.
I bet, yeah. Mm-hmm. Andrew Code says, I don't think I have ever played it. Or, if I have, my memory fails me. What was I talking about again? Oh, yeah. Stay positive and love your life. Thanks. Thanks, Andy. And Aaron Hickman says, another toe plan shooter? Of course, Aaron would know about all the toe plan games.
Aaron. Aaron knows a lot about toe plan.
Yeah. Though the sequel, Fire Shark, is better on Sega Genesis. Ugh. Just saying. Great Tim Fallon soundtrack, though. Alrighty. That rounds us out.
That's a quick and easy little set of feedback.
Yeah.
That's all right. We can take quick and easy if we need to.
Yep. That's all right.
I've got, let's see. I do have a email. Can you guess who it's from?
It's from Ryan.
Yeah, it's from Ryan. Ryan Ballard says in an email, while the game seems to both look and sound good, I wouldn't have spent more than one or two attempts on this. save for Dino Ricky, top-down shmups just don't have little appear for me. I bet that's an autocorrect issue there. I bet he's they're just not his style.
Little appeal.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So even though I'm betting it's a well done game, I'd give it a hard pass. Well, Ryan, you're probably right. It is definitely a top down shmup, and it's a difficult one at that. So nobody can blame you for giving it a hard pass.
Yeah.
If you want to email us, just like Ryan did, you can email us at, I believe it is dudes@bitbrosnetwork.com. Do you know what our email is? I don't even remember.
Not off the top of my head.
I may have to look that up. While I look that up, I do also have a voicemail. Would you like to hear it?
I'm game.
Okay. You're always game. I don't even know why I ask.
Yeah, that's right.
It's empty.
There we go. All right.
As usual.
That was anticlimactic.
Well, here, let's see. I'll play another one.
Okay. Maybe.
Nope. That one don't want to work.
There we go.
Great. Oh, good pod.
Yep. Great pod. All right. So, what we got left? We got anything left?
No, I don't think
game
so.
Game or tangents?
Sure.
Any more feet talk?
Man, I'll tell you one thing.
Tangent alert!
I don't like feet. I've never liked feet. I don't like anybody's feet. I don't like my own feet. So all the foot talk on this episode is really wearing me out.
So, podiatry was out of the picture.
Oh, it was right out. By the way, that email is twodudes@bitbrosnetwork.com if you want to send us an email. twodudes@bitbrosnetwork.com. We did have wait a minute. I forgot. This just in, hot off the presses. We got a podcast review on iTunes.
Oh, good.
From Canada. And I got to read this one because this one is tooting my horn here.
Okay. Oh, boy.
I like this podcast, and the humor by Michael is hilarious. Suck it, Justin.
Does it really say that?
It does. It didn't say suck it, Justin. No.
Oh, okay. All right.
That was for me.
It says, well, I'll go nurse my ego and write some jokes for the next episode.
Yeah. Hey, you're gonna have to pick it up. Because this person got to
pick it up a little bit, apparently.
Yeah, this person says, I like this podcast and the humor by Michael is hilarious.
There you go.
Says, I gave it 5 stars, but I would have given it 10 if it allowed me to.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you for the review. HDHDH from Canada.
All right.
Okay, sorry. I just had to throw that one in there.
I like it.
All right. So other Brit Brothers shows, as you all may know by now, surely we are now part of the Brit Brothers network. And
who's Shirley?
That's my cousin.
No. Oh.
She knows.
As you know, Shirley.
She loves this podcast. Right. Other Bit Brothers Network shows include Genesis Gems, the Two Dudes in S podcast, which we were listening to right now. Metroidvania Mayhem just came back. Brand new episode after 4 years. Yes, thank you. And we also do a monthly roundup show for, you know, where we get all of us together. Mm-hmm. And the Nintendo Switch app is now broken out in its own podcast all by its lonesome. So please go subscribe to all of those and enjoy all the content that we can put out. And if you enjoy that content, feel free to donate to us on Patreon at patreon.com/bitbros.
And not to not to hold a gun over your head or anything. The more you donate, the more content we're going to bring out. So
that's true. You guys are the reason we brought back Metroidvania Mayhem. And there's two other shows that are possibilities if you donate. Mm-hmm. We've got a potential for a sports video game show, and we also have the potential for a music video game show. But it all depends on you guys.
All right. So.
Yeah, shout out to the Wii Dude for the music. Shout out to the Fox Dude for the awesome logo. And Justin, where are they going to find us?
Yeah, you can find us still at our website, twodudesinanes.com, nesdudes.com, or nintendudes.com. And then you can find us on Facebook and Twitter the Bit Brothers Retro Gaming Community. And you can always email us at the email that Mike told you earlier in the episode, twodudes@bitbrothers.com, I think. So there we go.
I think it's bitbrothersnetwork.com.
Sorry. Just go back to whatever Mike said.
Yeah, rewind it. Go listen again.
And then we need voicemails. We've not gotten voicemails.
It's been a while. I keep getting these junk voicemails from spam callers that end up being empty. I go to play them and they're just blank. We need real voicemails.
Get us a real one.
Yeah, somebody get us a real one.
Ciao. All right.
That number, 775-7-RETRO-1 or 775-773-8761. That's it. We're done.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Here's music for the next game. It's playing, starting to play right now. Here we go. This podcast has been a Bit Brothers production, and this episode has been brought to you by our lovely Patreon donors. The following people have donated at the 32-bit tier or higher: Daniel Newton and Jared Adams. Thank you to both you bros. We really appreciate your support.